John chapter 14. We're going to continue. We brought our message this morning from the first three verses. Now we're going to bring the evening message from verses 4 through 6. Tonight's message title is The One Way Highway. It says, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Remember, this morning we were talking about the fact that the disciples were in great upset of heart because Jesus had just told them that he was leaving them, that he was going away, and that they couldn't follow right then. And they had put all their hopes on him, and they hoped that he would restore the kingdom to Israel and drive out the foreign invaders and bring righteousness and justice to the land once again. And then he told them to comfort them. He says not to be afraid, but to put their trust in him, because he was going to go and prepare a place for them, and that he would return and bring them to himself. And he tells them here, he says, "Where I'm going, you know. And the way that I'm going, you know." And Thomas, I have to wonder if Thomas was just one of the slower of the disciples or something, you know, because call him Doubting Thomas, because he keeps asking doubting questions, you know. And he says, "Lord, how can we know the way?" You know, it's like, and he says something truly amazing here. His response says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is a common misunderstanding of what true Christianity is out there in the world. And if you're going to want to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to understand this, because this is the default understanding of what Christianity is. And that is that you have to observe all of these rituals and rites and live a certain way in order to be accepted by God. I don't know how many times I've shared the gospel with my father, and yet my father will still come back at me at some times and say, "You believe that if you're not good enough, you're not going to go to heaven." And I'm stunned. I'm just absolutely stunned, because I've clearly presented the gospel. I used to get frustrated. I was like, "Why, Lord, do they seem to not understand the message? Why is it they keep falling back on this thinking?" Well, the Bible says, you know, the Apostle Paul says, if they have not believed our report, it is because they are blinded by the devil. The Bible presents this threefold picture of the sinner, of the lost person. That they are naturally spiritually blind. That because they are born spiritually dead, they can't discern the things that are spiritual. And the Bible says that as they indulge in sinful behavior, it hardens them against the gospel. So it makes it even harder for them to understand such things. And then it says that the devil himself seeks to blind them, to keep them from understanding. So I said, you know, it's this weird picture of a person born blind wearing a blindfold with the devil's hand held over their eyes. You know, that's the mental picture I built out of that. But this is the common view. And I want to say something, that is actually the religious view of every religion in the world. I'm going to tell you what every single religion in the world essentially believes. They believe that there is a code of behavior that you must adhere to. If you do not, you will be judged. But if you are really sincere, you'll just be forgiven. But you have to be really sincere. Believe me, I've spent years studying other religions and such. You can go to Muslim websites and they'll explain, you know, if you really pay attention to what they're saying, that's what they say. Jewish websites, you know, the Hindus, the Buddhists, everybody believes the same thing, that you have to be really good in order to be accepted by the divine. True gospel Christianity. You know how I said this morning that when America established religious liberty, it was the first time that that had ever happened in the world's history? When Jesus Christ presented the gospel, the true gospel, that was a earth-shaking thing. Because for the first time, you had not that you had to obey some code of behavior to be accepted by the divine, but that you had to accept a person. Jesus Christ says three amazing things here. He says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he makes that exclusive. He says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." These disciples, they were unsure of how to... They're like, "Well, how do we go where you're going? What are you talking about?" The Jews of his day had multiplied the commandments of God to over 600. I think it was something like close to 650 individual commandments that they were supposed to keep in order to please God. Kind of reminds me of... if you don't know this about Pastor Weigel... He makes these fake book covers, dust covers, puts them on his, he puts dust covers on his book, and he puts fake titles on the dust covers, and puts fake authors. And one of them that really cracked me up, that I thought was so funny, was he had put on one of them 5,000 rules to simplify your life. And I thought about the ridiculousness of trying to simplify your life. Oh, is that him? I was like, "Is there a bird in here?" Seth, get the bird. Seth has a lot of experience dealing with birds and buildings. But the idea, the ridiculousness of trying to follow such a complicated code. But that's how the world is. They pile on all these rules and all these codes that you're supposed to try to adhere to so you can be accepted by God. And I think that the reason why people hold on across the world so strongly to this idea is because it is pleasing to the pride to think that I'm accepted by God because of my own labors. That I'm more disciplined than the other fellow. And I'm better than the other guy. But Jesus Christ says, how you get to God is by me. I'm the one. Christianity is not some complicated code of behavior, some set of complex directions to get somewhere. It's a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a visitor yesterday, and he was afraid that he was like getting pen and paper ready to get directions, but he lives just off of 74th. 74, so I said, just take 74 on in. He says, how far? I said, until it ends, And then first intersection past High School Road, turn right, and you're on the street, and just follow it until you get to my address. He goes, that's it? I'm like, that's it. Yeah. I've had some directions that were really complicated and bizarre. MapQuest one time on the directions, I was following the directions, and the next turn said, turn left on such and such a street, travel 0.0 miles, then turn right back onto the street I was just on. I was like, what? And then when I got to that point, there was no street to turn onto. So MapQuest was wrong. When Heidi and I drove across the U.S., at one point we were trying to find this one restaurant because our GPS told us where it would be. And what we discovered was the GPS had given us the address for the restaurant would be. They hadn't built it yet. There was a sign there, though. Coming soon. So, aren't you glad that the way to God isn't some super complex set of directions? Turn right here, travel 3 miles, turn left, go down, turn right, turn around 3 times, proceed. But rather, one person. Simple, yet so many people miss it. So many people miss the truth. They fail to grasp hold of this profound statement. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What is the path that we need to walk? How do we get there? Jesus Christ. What's the truth? What's the knowledge that we need to know? Jesus Christ. What's the power that we need? Jesus Christ. The answer to every question to how to have a correct relationship with God is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is as we focus on Him, as we trust in Him, as we put our absolute reliance for everything on Him, that we find the power and the ability and the way to please God and to be accepted by God. Our pride rebels against such a concept because it demands that we acknowledge that we are not good enough, that we don't have what it takes to do it. And pride, you know, the root of sin is the love of self. And it's that love of self that keeps us from the truth. Jesus Christ says that the one who humbles himself, who abases himself, will be exalted. Before glory must come humility. And that humility is the acknowledgement that I can't do it. I have to say, I can't do it. I'm not enough. I need someone else. You know, this is both an encouragement and a warning. An encouragement in that it's not, as I said, it's not some complicated system of rules, but a person that we are to rely on, that we are to trust in. Rather than seeking to forge our own path through the darkness of the world, we simply need to follow the one who has blazed the trail ahead for us. But it's also a warning in that those who seek to make their own path, that there is no other way to get to God. Jesus Christ says that anyone who attempts to enter the sheepfold other than through him is a thief and a robber. They will not be accounted as part of the flock, as legitimate. Sadly, there will be people who will stand before God that day, people who were religious, people who were sincere in their devotion to their concept of God and righteousness. People who said, I love Jesus. And Jesus Christ will say to them, Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You know, one of the things that I told you in Oregon, I dealt with this gentleman who believed that you could lose your salvation, and he was very aggressive in trying to convince people of that. And he liked to use that passage saying, see, you can lose your salvation. They said, Lord, Lord. And, you know, they did mighty things in God's name, but, you know, God rejected them in the end. I said, yeah, but the thing you're missing is he says, I never knew you. Not that you were mine, but now I reject you. But I don't know who you are. You've never been one of my people. Only through Jesus Christ. Any other attempt? Did you know that at mosques, I've read advertisements of mosques preaching on Jesus Christ? They call him the Messiah. They say he was virgin born. They say he's coming again to establish a kingdom on earth, that he will rule the world. They consider him a great prophet. In Arabic, they call him Isa bin Miriam, Jesus the son of Mary. But they fail in this regard. They do not see him as the only mode of salvation and life. You see, it's more than simply how to get started, as if the individual can say, well, I got my booster shot from Jesus. Now I'm ready to go out on my own to live this life. And he says, no, no, I'm the only way. If you want to get saved, you must go through me. If you want to live a life that has any meaning, that has any purpose, any fulfillment, that has any lasting accomplishment, it must be through me. Jesus Christ told his disciples very clearly. He said, without me, you can do nothing. The Bible declares that by Jesus, all things consist. Your heart beats because the Lord Jesus Christ bids it so. The atoms of your body maintain their consistency and their binding because the Lord Jesus Christ bids it so. He is the power that allows you to draw breath in the morning and open your eyes and get up to face the day. He is the power that causes the food that you eat to give you the strength to do what you must. In all things, not simply, you know, a future hope of heaven, but you can't walk out this door without the Lord Jesus Christ empowering you to do so. He says, without him, your every labor is in vain. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ do we have our being. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we live. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we please God. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ do we have any hope for tomorrow. You want to know how to face the stresses and the agonies and the turmoils of your life? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you overcome the fear and the uncertainties? The disappointments when every time you turn around it seems like people you love and trust are failing you and betraying you? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast yourself wholly on him. In him alone. Trust for your being. Trust for your ability. Trust for everything. Your job isn't the reason why you have the wherewithal to take care of your family and to meet your needs. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not your understanding that has led you to be able to properly live. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not being an American citizen why you have freedom and prosperity. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. You're taking, you know, young people going to college, you want to have the ability to take the test, you better remember to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for giving you the ability to think and understand and ask him to bless your labors. Sometimes I feel inadequate in my ability to get things across to people, wishing so badly that I could just do a direct-to-direct transfer. Because I feel that words fail me. I don't want to go back over things I've shared with you before about the challenges I've faced in my life. I'm only the person that I am because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was on a path of ruination. Only the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. I was depressed. I was angry. I was lost in the darkness of this world. And it was only the Lord Jesus Christ who brought me out of that and showed me how to live. I've heard different ones of you confiding in me and in others about the struggles and the turmoil that you're facing. Each of you challenges that there are varying levels of difficulty, but all difficult. My mother, one time I remember I was hurting. And my mother's like, "Oh, you think you hurt? Well, I had this happen." And I looked at her and I said, "Maybe so, but that doesn't in any way stop me from hurting." I know that you're facing a lot of challenges, a lot of uncertainties. And I'm telling you, the only way to face them and come out on this victorious in the eyes of God, and how to truly handle these things, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Casting yourself on Him for your every single need. He is almighty, all powerful. He is the strength giver. He will bear you up. He says He turns no one away who comes to Him. I hope that this week, that as you cast yourself on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will find in Him your strength and your hope, and you will find that He is faithful and bears you up in the face of all your tribulations and all the uncertainties of this world. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Dear Heavenly Lord, we thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your word. And Lord, I know that many of the people here are facing various challenges in their life and uncertainties. And I pray, O God, that You might meet their need now, and that You might move in their heart and in their understanding, that they might cast themselves on the Lord Jesus Christ for their needs and depend on Him for all things. Lord God, pray that in this time of invitation that You might work among us. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, amen.